This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
All right. Well, this morning we want to talk about, I'm starting just a small little next couple week talk on, I'm entitled just simply Advent. And sometimes we hear that word Advent, and I don't know, I grew up even as a young adult thinking Advent, like that just has a different meaning. It sounds old-fashioned. Maybe somebody else would do that, not us. And then I started learning more about what Advent actually means. And Advent has been celebrated, the thought of Advent has been celebrated since around the 4th century. And during that time, during that 4th century, many, many years ago, is when, you know, historically we came down and we kind of nailed a time frame of when we thought or when we would celebrate the birth of Jesus when he was born, which is what we do now. So 1,600 years later, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate this date, this time where Jesus was born. And it's been done. And through that, we've created this season that Christians come together called Advent, where we're anticipating what is going to happen. We're anticipating when Jesus comes. In fact, the word Advent literally means arrival or arrived. Arrival. When we talk about Advent, the word just simply means arrival. And so we, with arrival, with us as believers, we are expecting a great arrival. We're looking in anticipation of this arrival, of the birth of Jesus. But I want to put a twist on it this morning because as we're looking to celebrate the arrival, the birth of Jesus, we're actually also expecting him to arrive in every situation of our lives right now. To be arrived and to be present in your life today, 2023, December 10th, I think. I don't know the date, but December 10th. Arrived in your life. But I want us to put our trust and our hope and looking to celebrate, obviously, the arrival and the birth of Jesus, but we're also expecting him to arrive in our lives right now. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, whatever situation, when he shows up on the scene of your life, he has the ability to change things. So there we're in this Advent season, and they were in this Advent season as well. Not only waiting for the great arrival, the birth of Jesus, but they're also, Advent also means that we are awaiting the second coming of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus that is to come, and that is exciting to us. So we get caught between two Advents right now, the birth of Jesus, that arrival, and the second coming, the arrival of Jesus that's to come. I wrote it down this way: throughout church history, Advent has a dual focus on both the incarnation, Jesus' birth, and the second coming of Jesus' return. So we're expecting, just like we were expecting Jesus' birth, we're also expecting that Jesus one day will arrive again. He's going to come again. So we're going to prepare our hearts for not just what's to come or what has come, but what is to come. It's like, you know, it's kind of like Easter. You have different religious holiday seasons, and Easter's one of those. And it's the same thing. Like Easter has this thing called Lent, where you prepare your hearts for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. The difference is Easter, for Lent, you normally fast. You know, you fast something. And how many of you know we ain't doing no fasting in December, right? Like, to glory be to God, we ain't fasting in December. And I think we need to understand that this season is not just about what happened 2,000 years ago, but it's also about what is possible in your life today, not just back then. You see, during those times before Jesus came on the earth, before Jesus came on the scene, before he was born, the earth, the world was filled with darkness. You have to understand that it had been 700 years that there were literally no prophets speaking. No prophets were speaking. 700 years, no scriptures were being written. And it was a dark, dark season. 700 years of it. And that's when some people, and that's actually where some people find themselves even today, where we're in these dark seasons where it just seems hopeless. It seems like, hey, what's happening, what's going on, confusion and doubt, and all these, this darkness seems to hit us. But here's the beautiful thing. And so what then these angels step on the scene and they make this wonderful, beautiful proclamation to Mary, which is actually a quote all the way back from Isaiah, written 700 years before this was even announced, and it finally comes to fruition. And this is what it says in Matthew 1. It says that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I mean, this literally is our Christmas scripture. This is the Advent. We are expecting the arrival that God is going to be with us. And so when Jesus shows up, it immediately, he's born in a manger, it shows up 2,000, and it immediately brings light in the midst of darkness. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago, but I want to encourage you, it's what can happen in your life today. Light could pierce the darkness in your life. Darkness could immediately be changed for you if only you understand the arrival. And it will happen, and also the fact that we can hold on to that one day, Jesus will come back again. He's going to come back in. It's an amazing arrival. So I want to prepare ourselves for what we are expecting when Jesus shows up on the scene. So over the next couple of weeks leading up to Christmas, we're going to put together some of the attributes that happen when Jesus shows up. We're going to put together some key attributes when he arrives, when Advent actually happens. Not when he just arrived 2,000 years ago, but when he arrives in your life today. These are the attributes you can expect to well up inside of you. So hang with me here this morning. I want to talk to you about these attributes. And so today, the first attribute that I want to talk to you about in this arrival is actually the arrival of hope. The arrival of hope. I think that sometimes we hear the word hope and we go, yeah, no duh, right? Or, yeah, that's just cliche. Or absolutely, of course, hope. I mean, that's just a given, right? I'm a follower of Christ. I live for him. Absolutely, hope should be a part of it. But I do sometimes think we miss it. I think sometimes we have no clue the power of hope. There is amazing power in hope. It's been said that people can go without food for several days or weeks. They said that people can go several days without water. It says you can go minutes without air, but they say that you can actually only go seconds without hope. It's hope that keeps us going. And hope, hear me this morning, is different than faith. Faith is what you trust in. Faith is how we put our belief in God. Faith is like we have faith in the word and we have faith in the gospel. I want you to grasp this morning, church. I believe that we don't have a faith problem. I think we have a hope problem. This wrote down this way. Hope is confident expectation about the results of faith. So it's not just that God can do it. It's that we believe that he will do it for me. That he will do it for me. There's a difference between hope and faith. Faith is that you know things can change, but hope is that you are expecting them to change in your life. Faith is you know God can heal, but hope is that you have an expectation that he can and will heal you. Faith is that you really believe that God can provide, and hope is that he is your provider right now in your life today. Faith is that we trust his word, but hope is that we trust his word can actually transform my life and my current situations. And I just believe that we have an issue today because people have lost their hope. They just have no hope. In fact, I wrote it down this way, and it's a reality for us as Christians that the enemy of your soul always attacks your hope before he attacks your faith. Always attacks your hope before he attacks your faith, right? He knows that since he can't defeat you, he will discourage you. Like he knows that since he can't come after your salvation, he will come after your spirit. And he wants you to get to that place where you're feeling down, where eventually you get discouraged and you get to that place where you eventually say, well, hope and faith aren't working for me. And I believe that this Advent season, this arrival season, God wants to build your hope yet again. to well it up inside you so that when Jesus comes on the scene, things can change. Miracles can happen, right? Relationships can be turned around. Listen, Christian Lifestyle, I want you to understand this may be simple, but I want you to get this. We need to get our hope up today. Get our hope up today. Miracles happen on the verge of hope. It's not just faith, but it's hope. It's interesting that we break down the difference between faith and hope, because Paul tells us, like he gives us these three great attributes, the three greatest attributes a Christian can have, and those are simply faith, hope, and love. He writes it in 1 Corinthians 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Like you would look at those three, and they are very, very distinct. They're very different things that God is calling you to live out in your life. Like faith is your belief, what you know, what you're putting your confidence in. But your hope is different because your hope is your expectation. It's the drive that brings about faith in your life. And then there's love, right? Love is your behavior when you act out faith and hope. So there's a lot of Christians, right, that have one of these, right? They have a lot of faith. I have faith. I believe in it. But do you have hope? They have faith, but maybe they have a lot of love, but they're not doing anything about it. So they lack faith and hope. Or maybe there are a lot of people that have faith. They believe a lot of big things, but they're not walking in them right now. Why? Because there's no hope. No hope in God. And then the reality is this. There's a lot of Christians who have a lot of faith and have a lot of hope. They're trusting God, but they're just mean. They're not nice. You haven't added love to the equation, right? You got to get that. So all three of them combined together are what makes a Christian a dynamic person. You put all three of those together, it's what makes you and I, gives us the ability to impact our community, to impact our families, to impact our church, because we've taken all those things and put them, not separated them different places, but we make them all one. Really, we have a hope problem in our world today. In fact, the Bible writes it this way in Proverbs 13. It says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. It makes the heart sick, right? A good illustration of that. Let me give you a great illustration of this morning. You've decided yourself, I'm going to go to the gym. Okay, like we're a month away from January. We all make that decision, right? And we're all making those, here's what we're going to do. So we make this decision in our life. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to lose 15 pounds. Like, I'm all out. I'm going to go all in. I'm there. I'm going to lose 15 pounds. I have faith that I can lose these pounds, right? So then we decide, well, we got to put some practice to our faith. And so I'm going to go. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go 3 to 4 times a week. Maybe I'll grab a trainer. I'll start to eat a little healthier. And you do these things. So you do it for a month. You exercise your faith. You're excited about it. The hope is built up. And then you get on the scale a month later. And out of those 15 pounds you got to lose, you only got 20 to go, right? How many of you been there before? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? It wasn't a faith problem for them. It wasn't a faith. What happens, right? You immediately you had all this hope, and it's immediately deflated, and you go, that's it, right? I'm going back to Krispy Kreme. That's it, right? I'm done. You've lost your hope. Like, it works for everybody else. It doesn't work for me. It didn't work. I put all the effort in, and now it didn't work, and you've lost your hope. It's been diminished. I love what Thomas Fuller writes. It's just so good. Hope is the only tie which keeps the heart from breaking. It's the only tie that keeps our heart full. It keeps us from breaking. So many Christians walk around today with not a faith problem. Like, they know God. They know what God can do. They even believe what God can do. They just don't think God can do it for them. They just don't think God can do it for them. They know he heals. They know he heals marriages, and he can heal your physical ailments. And they know that he can bring you back when your life has been misdirected. But then they say this up, but he can't heal my marriage. He can't heal my ailments. He can't touch my messed up life. In other words, it's not going to happen for me. It just can't happen for me. I want to illustrate this quickly with you this morning. I brought this little thing here. And the great illustration for me is I want you to pretend this morning that this balloon is faith. This little green balloon is your faith, right? Faith is given by God. He gives it to you. We can't have faith without him, right? You have to have God. And the Bible actually says that he gives all of us a measure of faith. So we've got something, faith that's been given to us, but the reality is your faith can't do much when it's like this. Your faith needs to be filled. And what fills your faith? What brings our faith into the fullness of what is possible by serving God? Well, you know what it is? It's a great example. Did you turn it off? Whoop. It's supposed to work. There we go. Slowly. This worked in first service. There we go. There. Okay. Whew. It's terrible when the illustration doesn't work. Hey, so here's the reality is what fills our faith? What fills it up? It's hope. So you have this faith, but when you take faith that's just given to you, but then you deposit hope into it, guess what it does to your faith? Like it causes it to expand. It causes it to grow. And you're excited. God's doing things in my life. Boom. My faith is growing. I'm at church. I feel his presence. God's doing good things to me. He's changing my life. He's rescued me. All these things are happening. And every time it happens, guess what happens to your faith? It fills up because you're filled with hope. A lot of times this is what happens when we first start serving the Lord, right? Like everything's good and you just start, your faith starts just getting filled with hope. God's coming through. You go to worship service, you can't get enough of it and you start believing in God and all of a sudden your faith is just growing off the chart. But here's what happens. But then the world, the difficulties, the disappointments, the discouragements, the confusion, all these things start to set in on us. And yet, you know what happens? Your hope slowly starts to leak. It just starts to fall out. I prayed and it didn't happen for me, God. I expected you to do this for me and it didn't happen. Relationships have fallen and my hope is diminishing. Like I keep going through church, somebody at church hurt me and now I have church hurt and my hope is gone. And then what happens eventually when it just overcomes you? It all goes away. Faith just deflates you. Your hope deflates you. And you find yourself down and out. And you find yourself and your faith defeated. But here's the reality. Faith is still there, right? I mean, faith is still there. It doesn't go away. It's still there. You still believe that God is God, and you still believe, well, I mean, I still believe in God every once in a while. I could even have a good worship song every now and then. I pray over my food. I mean, faith is still there. We still believe in God. The problem is it's not full. It's not a full faith. It's lacking hope. There's nothing in it. You just feel like, And I just want us to come to this place, like, why? Why do we want to live life like this? That's not what God wants you. He says to me, I want you to be full of hope. I want you to be full of all the things that I can do for you. I want you to be full of all the hope that I can possibly give you. I want to fill you again, church, with hope. I don't know about you, but I want us as a church to be expecting what God can do in our lives. And as we expect what God can do in our lives, I just know that your faith is going to grow and grow and grow. And the key to it is hope. It's hope. It's expecting that God is going to do something. I want us to believe that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God can do with a life that is full. A life that is full of hope. And so I want to challenge you this morning to get your hope up today. If you will let God fill you with hope, you will start to see your faith in action like you've never done before. You'll start to see results on your life that you've never seen before. But we gotta be full of hope. I'm challenging you, it's not enough just to have faith. I don't wanna let that go. It'll never come down. So what happened 2,000 years ago before Jesus came, right? The world was dark. And that's our life without Jesus. When our life is excluded from Christ, we lack hope. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians. He says, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without a God in the world. In other words, that's what life was like. That's what life is like when it's excluded from Christ. You have no hope. Hear me, church, that's what drives me as a pastor. That's what I want to drive us as a church, is I am driven by the fact, and you might have heard me say this before, but I'm driven by the fact is, how do people do life without God? How do you do life without God? Like, how do you do life without the hope of a savior, of an arrival, of Jesus? Like, how do people out in this world go through crises? How do they handle family dynamics and other situations? I can't imagine doing life without Jesus, without that hope. And it drives me as a church that there are people outside these walls that are doing life without the same hope that you and I have. It can't happen that way. That's why Jesus arrived. That's why Jesus came. The prophet Isaiah, he announced it, and Romans recorded it. It says this: the root of Jesse will spring up. One who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentile will hope. Will hope. So when you're looking for hope today, hear me, it's not going to be found in something that you have. It's not going to be found in some self-help talk that you're going to give yourself. Hear me this morning. It's found in Jesus. He's our hope. Like hope is not a thing. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. Our Advent is that we are waiting for the arrival of the hope that is in Jesus. Matthew records it this way in Matthew 12. He says, in his name, the nations will put their hope. You get hope when you experience Jesus in your life. So I want to put the focus on the next few weeks all on him. I mean, it is Christmas, right? So I think it's okay to put all the hope on Jesus and put all the focus on him. Like, take the next few weeks and make it all about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. We are waiting with anticipation, not just his arrival then, but we are waiting with anticipation the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is an amazing, amazing hope. So let me tell you why, quickly this morning, why we have hope because of Jesus. Here's the first one. We have hope because Jesus fulfilled prophecies. Here, check this out. The Old Testament is filled with around 300 detailed prophecies that outlined what the Messiah will be. 300 detailed prophecies of what the Messiah will be. And get this, Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. Every single prophecy, he fulfilled every single one of them. I don't know if you grasp this, but that is a big deal. That is a big deal. Let me put it into context for you. This will apply to some of you. Other of you, you'll have to think back a few years to help put this into context. But think about this. Let's pretend this morning. Imagine that you're single. A Christian guy in the room, a Christian girl, you're single, right? And you are just following God. And then you say, I'm going to make a list of what I want in a spouse. And you start making your dream list. And your dream list is 300 items. First of all, you crazy. Second of all, you're a little picky. But let's just say you do this, right? Your really detailed list, like how you will meet them, specifically how you'll meet them. Really detailed list of what they'll be wearing. Like the smile they would give you at that right time, the music they like. I mean, the whole list, 300 things that you want in your spouse. And then guess what? Next week, you show up at church and a guy sits next to you and he smiles. Sitting at church and smiling, those were two things on your list. Right? He has a red shirt on. That was number 87 on your list. He starts to check all the boxes of your 300 things that you had on your list. Now, how many of you know that if that was you and you were in that place, your hope would be pretty high? Like, oh my gosh, this person's met all my 300 requirements. Like, they're probably the one. I'm sweaty palms right now. I'm so excited. Your hope would be high because there was fulfillment in what you were dreaming for. Hear me this morning. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. You see, the Old Testament is packed full of 300 different prophecies about Jesus. Get this, 27 of those prophecies were fulfilled on a single day. The day that Jesus was betrayed, right? The Old Testament talks about it. He was betrayed by a friend. He was forsook by a disciple. The actual price of how much he'd be betrayed for, 30 pieces of silver, was written down 1,000 years before Jesus was actually betrayed in the New Testament. How he was crucified was told thousands of years before it happened. Now, they said things in the Old Testament, prophesying things like not a bone would be broken, the crowns of thorns, the dividing of his garments, that he wouldn't open his mouth, that his side would be pierced, that his heart would be broken, and that he'd be crucified between two sinners. 27 of those were fulfilled on a single day. When you look at the odds, the odds of a person fulfilling the prophecies that are over 800 years old. I mean, just one person. Math tells us this way. Just one person fulfilling 8 of those prophecies is like 1 in 17 quadrillion. So in other words, it's not going to happen unless God. Now, think about this. What are the odds of 1 in 300 prophecies being fulfilled by one person? It's only possible because God was orchestrating it. So when you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, you are filled with hope to know that Jesus wasn't just another man or another teacher or another rabbi. Jesus was the promised Messiah that came for you and came for me. That's who he was. And now we can have faith in him and our hope can be filled because Jesus is who he says he is. And he was promised way before, and that's good news for us today. He's not going to disappoint us. Our Advent is an Advent of hope because Jesus arrived. The Bible says this way in Romans 15, for everything that was written in the past being the Old Testament, was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement they provided, we may have hope. When you read the Old Testament, right, it can be difficult. I get it when we read it, but you can recognize that Jesus fulfilled all the things in the Old Testament. It all points to Jesus. And I'm here telling you, hear me, church, it should give you hope today. Here's the good news for you today. You can have hope. I wrote down this way. I love it. If you're taking notes, a good one to write down. Jesus' past performance is the best predictor of his future behavior. We look at what Jesus did, and because he did that, he can do it again in our lives today. That's how good he is. Write it again in Numbers 23, tells us this way, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So in other words, if God promised it, he will fulfill it. He will. And he did it when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, and he'll do it in your life today. He will fulfill the promise. He fulfilled the Old Testament promise, right? He fulfilled it. And then he could also fulfill the New Testament promises for your life today. So he will never leave you nor forsake you. New Testament promise. He will turn all things around for good. New Testament promise. He will heal your body and your mind. New Testament promise. He can redeem your past. New Testament. God can fulfill promises. And that should bring you hope today. He can fulfill the promises. I wrote down this way, because Jesus fulfilled past prophecies, we can have hope that he will also keep his present promises. He'll keep them. So I'm not sure this morning what you're holding on to, what promises maybe you have been spoken over your life. I don't know what those might be, but can I encourage you with this? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. You may have not seen the results. Don't lose hope. If God has set things in motion in your life, he can accomplish those things in your life. He fulfilled it. He was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, and he can fulfill the same things in your life in 2023. You just got to have hope. We have to have hope. Number two is simply this. We have hope because Jesus conquered sin. This is good news for us today. Like, I don't think we talk about this very often. Like, it is definitely a drawn line in the sand. I want you to get this morning. There's no gray. This is black and white. I believe this with all my heart. Sin is the problem of all issues in the world today. All issues in the world today. Humanity's issues today are rooted in sin. We have countries that are at war with each other for one reason: sin. We have marriages and addiction and all the things in this world today because of sin. Sin. Sin brings selfishness. It brings anger. It brings resentment. In fact, the Bible writes it this way in Romans. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Sin is the problem. In other words, no matter what's broken in our lives today, sin is the root. And I just want to say this boldly. I believe this. Sin is wrecking our globe. Like, sin is ultimately what's wrecking our lives. I wrote down this way. Sin adds to your troubles, subtracts from your energy, and multiplies your difficulties. Think about it. That's a lot by one little three-letter word. That's a lot. And my challenge for all of us is here is we've got to get to a place this Advent season as Christ arrives. We got to get to this place where we get this stuff out of our lives. And the Bible is clear. It's our sin that separates us from God. Isaiah writes it, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Sin always separates relationships. It will separate your marriages. It will separate your friendships. It'll separate you from your kids. It will separate you from your relationship with God. So there has to be a solution for sin. For thousands of years, humanity has been trying to come up with a solution to their sin. I mean, even today, like in our society all the time, people are like, well, here's my solution to my brokenness. Here's my solution to my sin. It's like, well, I do nice things. I'm a really good person. Shouldn't that be a good solution? And the answer is simply no. Like in the Old Testament, the solution would be to sacrifice an animal. Like based on the severity of your sin, they had different categories, and it might be, well, you'd have to sacrifice a bird or a goat or a ram or a bull, and it went up in severity, right? They would sacrifice these animals to cover for their sins. And I don't know about you, but some of us would have killed some major animals, right, in our lives. You're like, yeah, not me, I'm good. Well, you know what? Just this week, a lot of animals would have died in this room, I can tell you right now. And the theology was simply this: as someone sacrificed an animal, hear me, church, it would simply cover the sin. Like, that's the intention, that's the theology. When you sacrifice it, it covered, like if this is your sin, it covered the sin. It would appease God. But hear me this one, it was a temporary solution to a major problem. Just temporary. In fact, you had to constantly sacrifice again and again and again and again. But then Jesus, the Advent arrived. And get this, the forerunner, right? John the Baptist, his cousin, is paving the way for Jesus to come. And he sees Jesus coming and he makes this incredible announcement. Look at what he says in John 1. He says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear me, the people, when he's making that proclamation, they understood the Lamb. Right? They understood what that meant, the covering, right? But then he adds this crazy new thing about the Lamb of God who doesn't cover your sin, the Lamb of God who's not a temporary thing. What do you say? The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. That's good news for us today. He was the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. We can have hope because Jesus conquered what nobody else could conquer. Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter, and he says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice it said a living hope, not a temporary hope. It's a living hope. You know what living hope means? It's active. That means this week you have hope. Next, this day you have hope. This minute you have hope. This second you have hope. It is living in your life constantly. You constantly have hope through Jesus Christ, this living hope that we can experience because God was victorious on the cross. Because Christ saved us, we can experience hope. I wrote down some things I want you to grasp this morning because of this. Since Christ saved us, get this, our hope is that he can sustain us. Because we have hope, because of what he's done, since Christ redeemed us, our hope is that he can rescue us. It's awesome. Get this one. Since Christ called us, our hope is that he can care for us. And then get this one. Since Christ sent us, our hope is that he can supply for us. Not 2,000 years ago, but today. All of these are not relevant to back then. All these aren't relevant to some other place in your life or some other time in your life. This is relevant in your life today. God can sustain you. He can rescue. He does care for you, and he absolutely supplies for you. That's hope for you today. That's hope for you today. Yeah, come on. It's the first clap I've ever received. Thank you. When we look at what Jesus has done, we get hope that he will complete all things in our lives. He didn't just bring you this far to abandon you, church. You haven't served him all these years for him to just give up on you. You haven't walked this faith out just so he could say, well, good luck doing that on your own. He has saved you to equip you. And since he overcame the cross, we can have hope and not live defeated lives, but live hopeful lives. That's why the great hymn writer wrote it this way. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's a good word for us today. In other words, what is my hope built on? What Jesus did on the cross. It saved me. It forgave me. And now it will equip me, it will empower me, it will sustain me, and to do all that God has asked me to do. Let me quickly give you the last one, number three. We have hope because Jesus secured our future. Because Jesus secured our future. I think a lot of people are frustrated in our world today because they don't know what the future holds. And I get it. In fact, I think we're all in that same place. We don't know what the future holds. But we do know who holds it. Like we do know who holds it. We do know who's in charge. It may seem like things are falling apart, but I want to encourage you, even in the midst of that, Jesus is still good. And even in the midst of that, he is still in control. And as chaotic as it looks right now, one day it will all make sense. One day, Jesus is going to return. One day, he's going to redeem this whole thing. And hear me this morning, that is our hope. Our hope is the one day. The one day. The hope for the future. Titus writes it this way, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. And then he goes on to write, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the blessed hope? Jesus appearing. Our great God and Savior appearing to us. The arrival, the advent, it is our hope today. You will hopefully see God in one or two ways, right? Like one day, most of us hopefully will stand before God and before his throne room one day, and most of us will go that way. Some of us, there will be a group that will experience in one day when Jesus returns and reestablishes kingdom here on earth. It's all throughout Scripture. And we hope, and we have hope either way. Our hope is that one day we're going to see Jesus. One day we will spend eternity with him. one day we'll join the chorus of angels around the throne room singing, holy, holy, holy. One day, it will all come together. That gives us hope today. I wrote down this way, as Christians, our hope isn't just in what Jesus has done, but in what Jesus will do. That is your hope today. And what has he done today? He's arrived. He's arrived. He's arrived in your life to give you hope like you've never experienced before. He's working things together. He's working things, putting things in their place. Look how he wrote it. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and John recorded it this way. He says this to him. He says in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, Jesus was saying, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that? And then he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. He writes on, he says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Hear me, church, one day we will be with Jesus in that place that he has prepared for us. I thought about it, I was like, you know, it's been over 2,000 years or so. It's going to be a pretty awesome place. Like, if I had that long to prepare a place for you, that'd be a pretty awesome place. It's the blessed hope that we have. We have that hope. Give you this last quote. Thomas Brooks wrote this. I just love it. And I want to encourage you with it today. It simply says this: hope can see heaven through the thickest clouds. Like, you may have some pretty thick clouds in front of your face. Hope sees heaven through all of that. Like, I think of faith, a simple balloon faith doesn't see that, right? Faith is faith. I believe in God. But when you fill it with hope in the midst of your darkest days, you can see heaven when you can't see anything else. When things seem to be overwhelming and confusing, man, hope allows you to see through it all. Because you can be in the most darkest season and still say, hey, you know what? I know it's dark, but I have a Jesus who conquered it all. I have a Jesus who arrived, and I have a Jesus that will arrive again. And that gives me hope. It gives me hope today. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to close with this over you. I have this prayer that I want to pray over you today, and I hope you allow me to do that. It is genuinely from my heart. As I was closing out this message, I said, this is the prayer for Christian Life Center. This is the prayer for the people that are here watching online or standing in this room, and this is the prayer, and it's simply from Scripture. But here's my prayer. I want to pray over you today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for you today, church, individual, whoever you are, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow, not just with some hope, but you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That's my prayer for you today. May the God of hope fill you. And I don't know where you may be today, but today I'm believing that your hope will be raised up. That it's more than just a pretty decoration that you hang in your house somewhere. It's more than just a word that pops up and goes, isn't that cute? But it becomes a reality in your life. Hope becomes a true reality in your world. It's an expectation of what Jesus, not what he did, but what he will do in your life. So Lord, when you move in this place, as we just take a moment to worship you, we just take a moment to proclaim your name and exalt you. I pray you'll move in this place for those who don't have hope. That God God, you would raise it up. For those of us who have had hope, Lord, may you just fill us up with more and more hope that we can expect you, God, to do miracles. We can expect you, God, to move in our lives like we've never had before. Lord, may we proclaim that you have arrived. You arrived 2,000 years ago. You arrived living in our lives today. And one day you will arrive and take us to spend eternity with you. Lord, that gives us hope. Put trust in God, the more you see God come through you, that hope is going to expand and expand. And what I love about hope, there's a lot of things that are like this, but hope is one of those things that are extremely contagious. Extremely contagious. Like the more hope you have, guess what? Other people are going to get hope. The more hope you have, the more it spreads to those around you. And it becomes contagious. And they start saying, hey, what do you have? And you say, I have hope. I want that hope. What do you have? I have, what? Why are you so filled up? I have hope. I have hope in this Advent that my Jesus arrived and he will arrive again. I have hope. And the more that we fill up with our hope, the more as a church we experience hope, guess what? That word out there that's doing life without hope, it'll be contagious. That's our prayer this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus, man. Maybe the hope begins for you right now as you lack hope. And it really comes down, your lack of hope comes down to you. Christ is not your everything. I'm telling you, he conquered the cross so that you can have hope. And if you're here today and you just need to make a decision to make Christ all of your life, you need to ask him to come into your heart. If you're here this morning, we're not going to embarrass you right where you are, but if you're here, I want to pray for you. If you have the courage to recognize that today, would you put your hand up, put it back down again? I just want to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. Anyone else want to pray? Thank you. Lots of hands. Lots of hands. It's all right. Yes. Lord, I pray hope right in this room would rest. us to this place. You are moving on the hearts of people. Well, I just ask right now, Lord, that we would make this the simplistic place, that, Lord, would you come and bring hope to our lives. And Lord, as we're standing here, maybe you raised a hand and you're sitting right there. All you have to proclaim is this. You can say right where you're sitting, God, fill me with hope. Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead so that I can have hope. So, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I commit my life to you. I want to follow you. I don't want to have just faith. I want to have hope. I want to have expectation of all that you can and will do for me. Would you come into my life? Forgive me. Fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for all of us this season, this Advent season. Lord, this isn't a downer. This is a celebration. It's a celebration. Your arrival is a celebration. Your second coming is a celebration. And Lord, we stand expecting the great God, the God of our Savior, to come and receive us. And in that meantime, God, may we live lives of purpose. May we live lives of meaning that honor you and celebrate you, oh God. Lord, we love you today. I pray for every person today that, Lord, you would prosper them. May your face shine upon us. May we experience the goodness and greatness of God. Lord, I pray for those maybe walking into dark places, whether the minute they leave here or maybe this week. God, help us to bring hope. Help us to bring light into those dark places. Because we know what you can do. So we love you, Jesus, and we honor you in your precious name. And our whole church said, amen. Come on, let's give it up for God right now, Lord. Come on. It's good news. And thank you for being with us this morning. Hey, hope to see you around. Sign up, hang out, be with some friends, and we'll see you soon. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.